Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to use our Bibles again tonight. We're continuing on the parables. Let me remind you that the word parable is kind of self-explanatory. It is a Greek word, parabole. It's where we get the geometry term, parabola. It literally means a line of symmetry. That means a parabola is an arch or an angle that is the same on both sides. It's symmetrical. You could fold it in half and it would be the same. That is exactly what a parable is. It's a story that teaches a truth. The story is not the issue. The truth is the issue. You say, well, it wasn't a true story. It doesn't have to be a true story if it has a truth attached to it. And Jesus spoke in many parables, and there were parables in the Old Testament, as we have seen. And tonight, I give you another one of these. It's kind of a multi-layered parable here, but it teaches one single truth, and I'll get into that in just a moment here. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 39. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's. For brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Maybe Maxine Waters needs to hear this. And why call thou ye me Lord, Lord, and do not things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom it is like. He is like that which, like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, this is maybe one of the most needed parables, and yet one of the least taught on. And by the way, this is going to be one of those parables none of us like. All right, I'm just going to warn you. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at me and you. This is to every one of us. And if you'll learn the truth of this parable, your life will be more enjoyable. And let me say it, if you'll truly learn this parable, life will be more enjoyable for those around you. Jesus starts by using several illustrations of the same parable. That's what I want you to understand. We call it the parable of the blind leading the blind, but if you noticed, there were several different stories here to illustrate the truth. And let me show you what I mean. If a blind person asks another blind person to help them go somewhere, and they've never been there before, how's that going to end up? Not going to go real well. We call it the blind leading the blind. They're going to end up in a ditch somewhere. When we were in California 3 decades ago, there was a blind evangelist that came to our church, Brother Bobby Peoples. And my wife remembers Brother Peoples real well. Brother Bobby, it was funny. He was one of those guys that was blind, but he made fun of it. He enjoyed it. He used it to his advantage. He played piano. He was one of the most amazing piano players. Brother Andy, he played colors. He said, I can't see it, but I can tell you what I think what it sounds like. And he would play, and it was like, man, you can actually hear the color as he'd play Jesus Loves Me around the world. He'd play it cowboy style. He'd play it Russian style. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, and he'd do all kinds of crazy things. The guy was amazing. But if he had to go somewhere, he had his white cane, but he didn't know where he was going. He was in a different church every week, sometimes two churches a week. So he would kind of borrow your arm, Brother Bush. Yes, sir. We made a hospital visit one day, and some guys were laughing at him. I didn't hear it. He did. He said, hang on, brother. He said, you laughing at me? I'm blind. They said, oh, we didn't say anything. He said, yes, you did. He said, I can't see, but I can hear a whole lot better than you can. He said, matter of fact, you said this, and the other guy said this. Man, I could see their faces. They're going. He said, now that you talk, now it's time for me to talk. That man stood there and won those men to Christ. He used it to his advantage. I mean, he didn't pull no punches, trust me. But you put him with another blind person, they're both in trouble. That's not a good thing to do. So, because one is blind and the other is blind, they can't lead each other appropriately. Then Jesus says, we want to behold, or we want to focus on, the Bible talks about a mote or a speck. The word mote there is the word speck in somebody's eye. He said, look, you're pointing out somebody's got a little piece of dirt in their eye and you got a stick hanging in your eyeball. He said, before you start talking about what the other guy has in his eyeball, how about you pull the beam or the stick out of your own eyeball? Amen. Quit worried about a little speck of dirt in somebody else's eye when you got a big stick hanging out your own eyeball. Then Jesus talks about a tree. That a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit. And that a bad tree can't bring forth good fruit. Just like a fig tree can't bring forth, can't come of a thorn bush. Roses aren't going to bring forth figs. Nor is a bramble, which is kind of like what we would call a tumbleweed, going to bring forth grapes. All of these stories are related. God uses all three, four, five, however you want to number them. He uses all of these to illustrate a truth. Now, that truth tonight, they seem to be all very different, but as the illustration is symmetrical to the truth. Listen to me. He wanted to make sure there was no misunderstanding what he was talking about with this truth. He wanted to hit it from every angle so that the maximum amount of people could understand the truth. Now, let's look at the main teaching of the truth. First of all, look at verse number 39. The main teaching of the truth is that none of us are as good as we think we are. Look at verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind, and they shall not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. Ooh. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Then he starts talking about looking at the speck in somebody's eye when you got a stick hanging out your own. You're trying to point out fault in someone when the fault in your own life is as big or bigger than somebody else's. Let me start by saying this. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. There's none of us in this room that are perfect, including the guy talking to you. Let me rephrase that. Especially the guy talking to you. I know that. Sin has tainted every area of our life. Allow me to digress for a moment. Christianity and religion have made it to where people think because they look better than somebody else, then they are better. I hate to disappoint you, but we're all sinners. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64, chapter 64, verse number 6 says. Even the good we do is often tainted by sin. if God had not given us the hope of heaven and the promise of what greatness is in heaven, I wonder how many people would actually get saved. God even had to use our selfishness to get us to want to get saved. Now think through that one for a second. Let me scare you with hell, keep you from frying up. If that doesn't work, I'll entice you with the beauty and the greatness of heaven. But he even had to use our sinfulness to try to convince us of it. Everybody doing okay? Since Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5, man's biggest battle is, am I going to be God of my own life, or am I going to let God be God? And when we look at somebody else, I look at Brother Steve and say, you got a speck in your eye, and I've got a stick hanging out mine, but his is worse than mine because I see his. So I'm going to tell everybody about it. That's where we think that we've arrived. Christianity is not a plaque you hang on your wall. It is a cross that you hang on. This isn't the day to say, look at me. It's a day to say, look at he. Anybody that stands before you religiously and says, look at me, it ought to be, I'm not looking at him. Anybody that got a look at Jesus said, woe is me. I'm unclean. I'm undone. And we've brought our phylacteries, we've brought our fanciness, we've brought our fancy words to church thinking, well, I'm just not good enough. Or we get to a certain level in Christianity and we say, I've arrived, and what's the matter with you? Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus calls them hypocrites. Look at verse 42. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Brother Steve, you might have a speck of dirt in your eye, but I got a stick hanging out mine, and I'm going to complain about the spot on your eyeball. God says, I'm a hypocrite. Pull this out, let it heal up, and then let me help you. Too many of us are too quick to point out everybody else's faults and weaknesses. We see others who are blind and think we can lead them when we don't realize we are blinded ourselves in our sins and trespasses. Everybody doing okay? We tend to see our own lives as we want to see it, not as God sees it. We say, well, I'm not as bad as I used to be. Nope. But what are you comparing yourself with that for? God wants us to realize that we need to stay humble. And we're not as good as we think we are. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Everybody listen to me. Grace Baptist Church, if you could get this concept, it will change your life. Miss Wally and I were talking the other day at the lunch table. My wife was there too. And she said, I just can't believe how much I've grown, how far I've come. And I said, Miss Wally, yep. And she said, but I got so far to go. I said, I have just as far to go as you do. I started earlier on the road, but I have as much ahead of me as she has ahead of her. I have not arrived. I've been saved for 50 years. Almost 49 years. I've been preaching for 40 years. I have lived and breathed and been in church virtually every week of my life. I'm not a church mouse. I'm a church rat. Okay, the playground was the church, amen? I get it. I remember being tempted by the preacher's kids not to take a swim in the baptistry during the middle of the week, all right? I remember those days, because I knew if my dad caught me doing that, I was in trouble for sure. Yeah, he still gave me that look. He'd whoop me now if he found out if I ever did it. I didn't do it, all right? I can't tell you I didn't get tempted by it, but I didn't do it. But I can't tell you that the preacher's kids didn't do it. But God wants us to stay humble. When you get to the point where you think you've arrived, you have just become God of your own life. We're not to compare ourselves with our old life. We're not to compare ourselves to the lost world. Do you know what our comparison is supposed to be to? That book and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you put yourself up next to Jesus, you come way short.
Yes, sir.
And so do I. And so do I. So the main teaching, first main teaching of this parable is we're not as good as we think we are. Before we think we've arrived and say, well, this person's hurting, I'll lead them, we better realize we're just as blind as they are. We might have gone this way and can help them a little bit, but not going to help them all the way. So, next, we see the speck in others' eyes, but we fail to see the mote or the beam that is in our own eye. Verses 41 and 42. This is teaching us, and please listen to me. Why do we want to look for people's weaknesses? Why do we want to look for fault in people? We're quick to point out somebody else's fault. We're quick to point out somebody else's weakness. We're quick to point out somebody else's sin, but what about yours? Before you mention somebody else's, how about you get on your face at an altar and tell God all the things you've done wrong and all your weaknesses and all your faults? Our bus kids aren't here. Before you get upset with them for getting up in church or sometimes not behaving quite the way you think they should behave in church, how about you realize they haven't been taught yet?
Right.
Don't get your pharisaical snoot twisted too bad. We don't live in a country that has churched their children anymore.
Right.
We've had to totally change our Sunday school system because people don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about anything. They can't read. It's tragic. The problem is that that our own problems and faults are much bigger than the speck we point out in others. But we get our eyes off ourselves and make ourselves feel better by pointing out somebody else's flaws. Everybody doing okay? We have been taught to think, if I can find something wrong with it, that makes me smart. Did you know a 5-year-old can point out a problem? A 3-year-old can point out a problem. Just because you can point out a problem or a weakness or a fault doesn't mean you're real intelligent. Being able to fix it rightly with the right attitude, now that takes a little bit more. Who gave us the right or the authority or the ability to point out people's faults anyway? Do you know it's not my job to point out your faults? It's my job to preach the word of God. You'd be surprised how many people come to me and how one sermon hits everybody in a different way. I'll get 10 different comments on the same sermon, and it's coming from 10 different angles. Say why? Because they applied it personally, yes, but I wasn't preaching it at them. I was preaching it to everybody. And truth applies. Here's the problem. There are those in Christianity that will sit there and say, boy, I hope so-and-so hears this. Hope so-and-so fixes this in their life. Yeah, you're the first person that needs to be at this altar. When you're sitting there saying, I hope my husband gets this or I hope my wife gets this, maybe you ought to get it and get right with God. Everybody doing okay? We have to realize that we're to look for the good in people, not the bad. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows the evil, but he also knows the good. How is it that you can only point out the evil and not the good? I said it just a couple weeks ago. I'll say it again. That's why in this church, if somebody messes up, somebody makes a mistake, somebody sins, I'm not going to trot them up here in front of you and tell everybody what they did wrong. First of all, none of your stinking business. Second of all, you're not the one that's got to forgive them. God does. And third of all, before you judge them, how about we trot you up here and tell everybody what you've done in your past? Then you'd have a right maybe to listen to what was said. Well, there's just certain things. Show me in the Bible what those are. They're not there. If it's under the blood, it's been forgiven, and in God's eyes, there's no judgment. Why do you want to judge them? It's not our job to point out and try to fix everybody else's problem. It's our job to help people that want help. Folks, as your preacher, I love you. I am here to help you. But I'm not going to chase you down and make you follow my advice. I'll be here for you. I'll give it to you if you want it. But if you don't ask me, I'm not going to tell you. Not my job to intervene. Recently, somebody was about to do something, in my opinion, not the wisest of ways. They told me what they're going to do. I said, okay. They did not ask my opinion. You say, what did you do? I let them do it. Partway through it, they said, uh-oh. But they didn't change what they did. Had they asked me, I could have kept them from the uh-oh and the mess that they're in now because of it. But now they're trying to fix a bigger mess because they didn't ask advice. They just went and did. It's not my job to force people to do things. I'm here for them, but I'm not going to beat them over the head to do it. You come ask my advice, I'll give it to you. If you don't do it, that's between you and God. You don't have to obey me, but I'm telling you something. I've worked with enough people. I've worked with enough situations. I've been in the ministry long enough. I think I know more about people's lives than you do. Please don't take that arrogantly. But after 40 years of preaching, 32 years full-time in the ministry, I think I've learned an awful lot about life. I've seen an awful lot of life. I've dealt with a lot of life. I've dealt with a lot of death. I've dealt with a lot of sickness. I've dealt with a lot of bad news. I've dealt with more millions of dollars of finances than you can even probably want to think about counting. I've been around it. I've been through it. I've been in it. I've been involved in it my entire adult life. I think I understand things a little better than most. And I've seen enough people make bad decisions that I know where you're starting is going to end up. And I've seen people make enough good decisions to see where they ended up, and I'd like to get you on that road, but I'm not going to force you. Did you know as your children grow older, they become older teenagers and adults, you don't have the right to tell them what to do? And quit judging them for their decisions. If they ask for your advice, give it. Well, that's not easy. I didn't say it was easy. But you got to do what you got to do. Boy, I love it. Who gives us the right and the authority to point out everybody's badness? Who made you God other than you? It's not our job to point out and try to fix everybody's problems. Let me say this. I don't try to fix everybody's problems. I help people that come to me, and I'll help them fix their problems. I'll preach to try to prevent people from having problems. But I can preach on Sunday, and by Monday, people are calling me. They've disobeyed what I preached on Monday, and they're a mess on on Sunday, and they're a mess on Monday, and they need my help. And I'll say, and some of them didn't even come to church, and say, I want to say, well, if you were here at church, I gave you the answer yesterday. Part of the problem is you weren't here. That's what I want to say in my flesh. Say, preacher, do you say that? No. Not that way. I might say, wish you were here yesterday. I just taught on this. I preached on this. Let me help you. I don't get mad at them for it. Everybody doing okay? We need to understand we are as flawed or more flawed as those we're trying to help. How many times have you heard this preacher say, one sinner preaching to other sinners? One blob of dirt preaching to other blobs of dirt. That's all we are. So why do we get so upset when somebody has dirt? We're all dirty. We're all sinners. Let me show you what I mean. Everybody listen to this illustration. It was the best illustration I could come up with this truth. If you don't like it. Did you know doctors and nurses are not immune to sickness, disease, pain, and death?
That's right.
Just because they help people through those things does not mean they don't go through it themselves.
That's right.
I don't know one doctor that has never been sick. I know cancer doctors that died of cancer. I know heart doctors that died of heart attacks. Can I tell you something? Just because you help people in an area does not mean you're immune in that area. And just because you are a Christian doesn't mean you're immune to sin yourself. Quit thinking you've arrived and you're not affected by it. We have sin in our own lives. Number next. A good tree cannot produce good and bad fruit at the same time. Verses 43 through 45. Folks, we're all sinners. Even some of the good we do is tainted by sin. Matter of fact, all of it. We're to compare ourselves with Jesus, not with other sinners. Saved sinners or lost sinners. Brother Mike, my job is not to compare myself to you or to Brother Randy or Brother Barnes, Brother Al, Brother Greg. My job is not to compare myself with any person. My job is to try to get as close to that as I can be. Try to help you want to get as close to that and as close to him as you can be. We're not going to be perfect. Get over this. That you say, well, somebody emailed me this week and wondered they've seen our church. It would be just such a perfect venue for their wedding. They love it. They wanted to know if they could rent our church for their wedding. And I told them I'm very pleased that you would think so. But we have a policy at our church that I only do weddings for the members of our church. We do not rent it out to anybody. Many reasons for that. One is tax purposes. The other is if I start renting it out to some people and I say no to the sodomites, then we could lose our church. And we ain't about to marry any sodomites here.
Amen.
I'm not marrying Adam and Steve.
Amen.
Not happening. And we just put a lock on it. We don't rent our buildings out to anybody. I'm not going to rent it out to the government to have their elections here.
Amen.
You let them in, they're going to take over when they want to. Everybody doing okay? If there's an emergency and we open the doors of our church for an emergency, that'll be our choice. The government can't force me to do it. We found that out during the Houston floods, and they started trying to take over churches, and the government was in there during church service times, and when the pastor stood up and said, you get yourself out of here, we're having church, they had a fight with the government. It's not that I'm anti-helping people, but church comes first.
Amen.
Not government control.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? So before we puff up with pride too much over how good we think we are, we need to realize that we're not as good as God is. You see somebody get saved, get excited about it. But you didn't save them, God did.
Amen.
If you knew, I have 8 sermons I'm working on right now in my Bible. I finished 2 this week. I have 8 more that I'm working on. I've got 8 or 10 or 12 sitting in a file somewhere. I'm constantly working on sermons. I was either flying to or back from Maine. I can't remember which. I started piddling with the truth. There's been some statements made over the years that just don't sit well with me. We talk about spiritual children and spiritual grandchildren, the people that you win and people that you win, that they win somebody. Can I tell you something? They're not our children. They're God's kids.
Amen.
I don't have spiritual children. I didn't birth them. God did.
Amen.
I have brothers and sisters. But I don't have children and grandchildren. I didn't have anything to do with the birthing processes. All I did was deliver the message. Their getting saved was their new birth, not me birthing them.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Let's not think of ourselves. By the way, you can't get a different kind of fruit off of a tree. That's why the church isn't supposed to be like the world and have spiritual fruit. I'm sick and tired of these churches looking like a rock concert saying they're jamming for Jesus. It's a bunch of trash. That's trying to get figs off of off of thorns. That's like trying to get grapes out of a bramble bush. It's not going to happen. When you start having light shows and the steam machines and the rock concerts and the big screens and everybody screaming and hollering and dancing and jumping up and down, hugging each other like a bunch of reprobates on a dance floor. Can I tell you something? God's not real pleased with that. And you're not going to bring forth good fruit with a bad tree.
Amen.
This is an old-fashioned, independent Baptist church.
Amen.
Run God's way. See, not everybody likes it. Didn't ask them if they liked it. If God does, that's all that matters.
Right.
Let's not think that we're good, that the good we do is any more than any other sinner. Folks, just because you don't do as much as somebody else doesn't mean they're better than you are.
Right.
And just because you do more than somebody else doesn't make you any better than anybody else. Just because you hold a position or a title or something doesn't mean anything other than you're supposed to serve more,
Amen.
Not be served more, and not be looked up at with some piety.
Amen.
A couple of Sundays ago, I preached a sermon about the excellency of the power be of God and not of man. So God says, this is what I really want to come down to. Look at verse number 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, God says what comes out of our mouths reveals what our heart thinks. Maybe before we pop off, we ought to start thinking. Because we're revealing what we're actually thinking. Everybody doing all right? We just went to meddling real fast, didn't we? Good thing we got a big altar. We'll open the door. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I often say this, you know your attacker, you know how somebody is thinking by what they say. Isn't it amazing they'll impeach President Trump for inciting a riot, but Maxine Waters can go to Minneapolis and run her fat mouth, and everything's okay. She needs to be censured. She needs to be impeached. She needs to be kicked out of Congress, and that's just the beginning.
Amen.
How about we drag her name through the mud? Yeah, let's get her back taxes that she owes. How about the wall that's around her house and she's against the one for the border? God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, listen to me very carefully. America has trained for many generations that critical thinking is good. Critical thinking is exactly what it says, critical. And it's not good. You don't have to point out everybody else's flaws. You're just as flawed.
Amen.
Our American press is flawed.
Amen.
The American people are flawed. The world is flawed. Christians are flawed.
Amen.
We all have flaws. Let's quit concentrating on the flaws. How about we get the answer to them and keep preaching the answer and not worry about the flaws?
Amen.
I've got to finish. God concludes this teaching in verses 47 through 49. Some Bibles will tell you in their little notes that this is another parable. It's not. This is an explanation of the parable. Man that built his house upon the sand and man that built his house upon the rock. That's not a parable. God knows what he says. Look at verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. What sayings? The parable. And doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He didn't say, I'm speaking a parable.
Sorry.
He said, let me tell you what a person that learns from verses 39 through verse 45, if they learn that, and they do that, then God says, if they will do those things, then he's like a man that builds his house on a rock. So that when the storms come, the winds blow, the rain beats down, the rivers flood things, that house will stand firm. But if a person only knows these things but does not do these things, he says in verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not, is like a man built his house on the earth, that when the storms came, it fell over because there was no foundation. God said, we can hear and know this truth, but if we don't do what this truth says, we're like a foolish man building our house on the sand with no foundation. God's telling us that it does not, we don't measure our lives by knowledge. He measures our lives by action.
Amen.
I'm for you learning things, but I'm more for you doing things than just learning things.
That's right.
God doesn't want your notebook. He wants your life.
Amen.
Our credibility with others is not based on what we think we know, but by how closely to God's book we live. Our credibility is to that book. A man recently visited our church. He's involved politically. He's asked me to be on a call with Senator Manchin soon. One of 10 people that'll be on a call with him. I said, are you sure? He said, I've heard you preach. He said, I haven't heard anybody preach the way you do, as boldly and as strongly. He said, Senator Manchin needs to hear from you. I said, I don't know about that. I said, but I'm not changing for him or for you or for anybody else. I said, I'm not trying to get an audience. By the way, he contacted me. I did not contact him. I say, preacher, are you going to do it? Once. Probably won't get a second chance. Might as well shoot the wad while I got it, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? There are some people that would look at what we say and do here and say, well, you're too rough, you're too mean, you're too bold. You say, preacher, what's one of the things you're going to say? My first thing is going to be this. Senator Manchin, you work for us. What happened to Washington, D.C. serving the people, not mandating to the people?
Amen.
How about you represent us and not tell us what we have to do?
Amen.
They need to find out where their place. By the way, I respect him. I respect his position. I don't agree with most of what he says or does. But I'll treat him with respect. I will not disrespect him. I won't speak even with a bad attitude. But I'll speak pointedly. Say why? Isn't that what Jesus did with the politicians? He had trouble with them back 2,000 years ago. They've only gotten 2,000 years worse. I'm not angry. I'm angry at preachers that got lace on their underwear and afraid to preach the truth.
Amen.
I'm a little upset at the church house more than I am the White House. Because if the church house was right, we wouldn't be voting this way.
Amen.
I got to finish. The blind leading the blind. We point out a speck in somebody's eye when we've got a stick hanging out of ours. We're looking to get good fruit off of bad trees and getting different kind of fruit off of different kinds of things. And it doesn't work that way. God says, let's be wise, hear it, let's do it, let's stay humble, let's compare ourselves to God, quit comparing ourselves to everybody else, and let's quit pointing out everybody else's faults.
Amen.
And flaws. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Say, what's the biggest measure of my spirituality? Your mouth. How is it with you today? How is it? Maybe the hardest of all the parables, but one that we need most.